earlier we heard from Love Balladeer for Hire, Corey Dargle. I asked Corey to write a song for my wife and me, both because I wanted to get in on the action myself and because we just celebrated the 30th anniversary of our first date. So I told Corey the story. It was back during the Carter administration. We were both fresh out of college and new to New York City. It was a blind date, my first.
Okay. Never done this.
When I got Ann into the studio to reveal this wacky scheme, I think she was slightly terrified.
Okay, God. I can't stand it.
I don't understand why this is why this isn't like an exciting surprise.
Oh God, I have no idea.
So I'll tell you what we're doing. Okay. So there's this singer-songwriter named Corey Dargle. He's like a.
After telling her what was up, she reacted like most people do when there's a surprise party in their honor. Pleased, but a little discombobulated, sheepish about suddenly being the center of attention.
And so we have a song.
Okay.
About ourselves. I haven't heard it yet either.
Okay.
You're getting so emotional. Okay, let's listen.
It was my first blind date. And also my last. A boy and a girl from almost parallel states. A boy and a girl with almost parallel pasts. In fact, had I jumped into the Missouri River in Omaha when I was 17, and had it carried me down to Kansas City, I bet you would have rescued me before we started going gray. Before there was Lucy, before there was Kate, before our wedding day, and even before that first day. Jumped into the Missouri River in Omaha when I was 17, and let it carry me down to Kansas City. I bet you would have rescued me. I bet you would have rescued me.
That was awesome. it made me cry.
Really? It made me actually tear up at the beginning as well. It's entirely unlike what I imagined it would be, because I've heard several of his songs, and they weren't like this in the sense of making up the little fairy tale idea of, you know, jumping into the river. Which is pretty frightening to me, frankly.
It would have been a big river to rescue you from, too.
Yeah, and I would have, you know, died in Bellevue, Nebraska before I got there. But that's just my literal unromantic aspect coming up.
No, I loved it. It was pretty wonderful.
What will the kids think?
I think they'll be thrilled.
Yeah?
Completely.
Do you think we'll ever listen to it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll put it on the iPod?
We should have it be our voicemail.
We could do that. We could do that. I mean, I guess it's a private thing, but not really. I mean, it would be just, it's like a conversation piece that we can play for people we know.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly siblings.
Somehow having it played on national radio makes it a little less private, I think.
Good point.
You can hear more of Corey's love songs and read more love stories from listeners at studio360.org. While you're there, post a comment and tell us what you think of the show. And also sign up for our free weekly newsletter, and you can subscribe to the Studio 360 podcast. I'm Kurt Anderson. Thank you very much for listening today, and I hope you'll join us again for next week's show. Studio 360 is produced by WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Our production team includes
Julie Burstein,
Vital Mulad,
David Krasnow,
Michelle Siegel,
Derek John,
Jenny Lawton,
Pike Medinowski,
Sarah Lilly,
Katie Rolnick,
Andrea Salenzi,
and Matt Wiener.
And our theme music is by David Van Tiegum.
PRI's Studio 360 is funded in part by Ken and Lucy Lehman, who support CARE in its efforts to alleviate global poverty, on the web at care.org, by the Lilly Auchincloss Foundation, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art.
PRI, Public Radio International.
He's 19 feet tall, marble, and kind of homely.
Lincoln is not the most classically beautiful face. You know, he was held in such esteem, but Lincoln is such a screwy-looking guy.
Join me and Sarah Vowell to figure out how the Lincoln Memorial became an American icon. Next time in Studio 360 from PRI.